Having been a solo flyer all these years, it was quite a wake-up call now being an employer, a boss, a mentor, a tired, weary stepfather of chatterboxes. It's not that I was isolated from acquaintances of every kind, because I had clients and suits and overalls bouncing in and out of 333 with frequent ease. But there were always people doing their own thing, knowing how to do their own thing, whilst now being responsible meant, well, being responsible. With Embla joining me at 333, I was fully aware there would be a period of adjustment, both of us getting to know this and that, but I trusted my instincts, trusted that she would be perfect for my universe. And just as importantly, I trusted her instincts, that she was ready and willing to fly with me. I remember joking at her interview that I would need to hire a cleaner, as we both seemed magnetically clumsy together. But in truth, 333 already had a janitor, a sort of handyman. Well, actually, he was more of a non-reactive first responder. He was always first on the spot of an event, but not really doing very much about it. "They call me Skips," he grinned, like a stoned Cheshire cat offering his hand for Embla to shake. And he stood there with an awkward silence, accompanying his silly smirk. Skips. Now, how do you describe Skips? I guess he would be the perfect granddad. Not only in appearance, balding and always dressed cosily, but his warm manner and those endless lifetime stories for each occasion. And when I say each occasion, I mean he actually has an experience for every imaginable occasion. Mostly because they are stories he invents in his head as his mouth is moving. Then once you add into it his overexcitable posture and expressions, he becomes super convincing. In fact, generally as he tells his tales, his audience listens with raised eyebrows and shrugged shoulders because, well, who knows? Could be true, probably isn't, but could well be true. "Let me join you both on this tour of 333 that street," he smiled with a random little bow, a half curtsy. As he was using the word join, I also knew that he meant hijack, with the intention of filling her head with various articles of nonsense. Well, Embla would have to discover this for herself someday, so it might as well be now. Also, I might interject my own narrative here to say the word janitor isn't entirely accurate. Skips is simply a guy who rented one of the rooms at 333 and had taken the role of janitor upon himself. Unqualified, I imagine. Unpaid, I know for sure. Unchecked by any form of health and safety authority. Uninsured. But hey, who's going to get in his way? Effectively, Skips would be first on the scene of any drama at 333. He'd stand there and tut-tut and shake his head. He would assess in a non-assessing way. And then he would tell tales of where he had seen this before, only much, 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 much worse. Then he would call a professional fixer in, and I would get a bill in my postbox soon after. Also, being unqualified, unpaid and unofficial meant everything was done according to Skip's time zone. Having hijacked the tour, he then decided to make a phone call, which we could loudly hear was to his wife, telling her he was about to give the new girl a tour. See, gossip was his thing. Live gossip, his bigger thing. His wife, by the way, no one had ever met or seen with their own eyes. You could hear squeaks and warbles on the other end of the phone when he called her, so maybe she was real. But he also once said he was on the phone to a Chinese foreign minister. The noise on the other end sounded similar to potentially fake wife's warbles, and Skips was clearly making up words that he believed sounded Chinese in an accent that was clearly copied from the Karate Kid movies. So as Embla and I stood like a pair of lemons in the reception area of 333 that street, waiting for Skips to stop talking about us, in front of us, to a possibly fictional wife, wagging his finger as if to say, "Wait one more moment, please," I tried to explain the address of this grand building. You see, this house, with a blue door and four floors and many other doors, used to be the only residence for miles, I proudly acclaimed. No address, just known as that house with the blue door. If people would write letters, that's how they would address it, and the postal people just knew where we were. Even today, we will have post arrive here addressed that way. That house. If it's the only house, then why is the number 333? Embla questioned, almost as if she was trying to trap me, like I was Skip's buffoon sidekick. I genuinely don't know the truth for that, I honestly replied, about to mention some ancient local theories I'd heard, when Skips arrived and stepped in to answer. You see, this is an old house with a very checkered history, Skips whispered, as he seemed to talk with his eyebrows, and crouched, as if ready to tell haunted tales around a campfire. If you look at the back of the house, engraved in the old brickwork are the numbers 333. Embla looked at me for confirmation. I nodded. This part was in fact true. 333 scratched chaotically with some sharp metal object. To mark a house of witchcraft, Skips continued, waiting for some form of gasps of intrigue, I guess. To display a theatre of devilment. Embla again looked at me for confirmation. I shrugged my shoulders, a universal reaction to Skip's commentary. Who knows if it's true or not? So why 333? Asked Embla, making no sense of the tale so far, or of where it was going. Is that how many crimes she did or something? Well, continued Skips, moving his body mysteriously, before pausing with dramatic effect. I guess he imagined he appeared mysterious to us. We simply saw him wobbling like a cute granddad in a cardigan. Here's the thing, he said. The old lady witch was powerful, yet small. It is said that the phrase, all bad things come in small packages, was a tribute to the woman they knew as half-devil. I decided to move the tour along at this moment, figuring he meant she was half of a devil, and that means half of 666, a 333 witch. Plus his small packages quote was simply a very, very lazy, cheeky reverse. Embla laughed at exactly the same moment my internal calculator figured it out, and Skips knowingly frowned at us both. This would be the first of many Skips facts that Embla would have to endure. Having said that, and having seen the glint in her eyes as she realised the janitor may be as useful as a chocolate teapot, it was another Embla lightbulb moment for me. She knows, without being told, what she needs to know. That wavelength, that connection. Skips felt it too. She was perfect for 333. We all knew, each other knew, but we would still do the things we needed to do. So welcome, grinned Skips, like a Yorkshire frog on a trampoline. Welcome home, Embla. He celebrated, his arms aloft, as if this was his kingdom. Embla thanked him, but before he left to go do whatever granddad fake janitors do, he remembered one last thing she needed to know. Urgent information. These are the moments he did his Columbo hunch and remembered something just when you thought you had seen the last of him. I didn't expect someone Embla's age to get the reference, but she did laugh, knowing there would be days you would struggle to shake him off. The elevator, he announced as if he was the voice of a horror film trailer. Best never, never use it alone, and best still, he paused, with drama in his fearful eyes, you never use it at night. I wasn't sure at this point if we would all need to be seated, passing around a hip flask, but Embla was grinning and obviously ready for the next tall story. They say this place used to be an old woolen factory, he whispered, deeper than before, pausing to give his eyebrows time to dance and wriggle with intrigue. They say the daughter of the business owner fell to her death down the lift shaft as it was being built. He pauses for gasp, or maybe an asthmatic wheeze. Embla, again, glanced at me briefly, probably to see how engrossed I was in this new information, but I could tell she had no idea herself at this moment which of his words were fact or fiction. Fact and fiction often cross over at 333 That Street. Her father never returned to the factory again, and it lay desolate until the brave Mr. Bugle took on the Blue Door at 333 that street. He nodded, as if knowingly. And, as I was about to say let's move on with the tour, after looking at my non-existent watch a dozen times, Skips put his hand on my arm to halt me and looked at Embla with concern, a warm look, as if he was her loving protector. Sometimes, even now, late at night, you can hear the screams of the young girl's ghost echo around the lift shaft and the empty corridors. Hundreds of years of pent-up pain and loneliness shrieking from the little girl's ghostly lung. And another pause, which quite clearly was now very, very bad acting. And the lift doors have been known to open by themselves. And a whirlwind of little girl poltergeist flies through the lobby, banging on the windows to be released. To be fair to Skips, this did seem quite convincing, despite his oftentimes super cheesy narration. It was possibly true and or possibly well rehearsed. Although having known Skips for decades, I was fully aware how accomplished he was in the art of storytelling, or as some would call it, extreme bullshitting. Which is why, he paused again, raised eyebrow, little smug grin, always leave that little quarter window open for her to fly to freedom. He pointed to the front building wall, and of course, both Embla and I looked and strained for confirmation that there was indeed a quarter window open. Neither of us saw any such thing. Of course we didn't. As we turned for whatever was coming next, there was a brief glimpse of Skips running up the stairway next to the elevator. A dreadfully obvious attempt to vanish in a puff of smoke to make the story even more mysterious. But we did see an old man's backside in corduroy trousers vanishing awkwardly up the stairway. We smiled at each other, of course. That was 15 minutes of our lives we would never get back, but it was 15 minutes of our life well spent, possibly. Listen, I said, before we continue with the tour of 333, I'll just show you what to do should there be any poltergeist activity in the elevator, I said, smiling at Embla, pressing the open button on the lift door. This plaque here has the emergency number to call in case of any problems. I pointed my finger at the plaque, landing it on the health and safety note, which clearly stated the elevator was built and installed in 1971. We laughed and left the lift.